Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. We're kicking off the third hour of the show. You can bring up anything you want to discuss. Just dial in here at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. That is what allows you to take control of the airwaves, as we like to say here on Free Talk Live. Open phones every single night, 7 nights per week. That's what we do here on Free Talk Live. Here tonight, it's Ian.
And it's Bonnie.
We have Peter on the line in California. We've been talking about financial intelligence and, you know, being able to take care of yourself at both a younger and older age. Of course, if you prepare when you're younger, it makes things easier when you get older. But as the author over at the Foundation for Economic Education has been explaining in an article that you've been sharing tonight, Bonnie, about 6 tips that he would have given himself had he known what he knows now at age 18. And one of those tips was to not drink so much.
Right.
Especially
in bars.
Yeah. Be smarter with the money that you're spending. And your own personal habits are a really important contributing factor to how well off you're going to be in not just the short term, but also the long term. And if you can kick that habit early on, if you can kick the habit of alcohol or cigarettes or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned smoking in bars, mm-hmm. because, I mean, even if you get one of the cigarettes from, like, a bar ATM cigarette thing, oh, my God, those are so expensive.
They still have those?
Only in, like, some bars, like, not every single one or anything.
Those are pretty hard to find.
But those are really expensive, and just the fact that, like, sometimes you just keep smoking way more than you would if you were sober when you're drunk.
Yep,
so it's
true.
Just like 50 cents, or
but
whatever.
But being able to break those habits entirely, of course, is ideal because then you don't spend anything on those habits. But the other thing is you don't want to necessarily replace one habit with another, even if it is a better habit, or at least on its face. And Peter, that's what you wanted to tell us about tonight. You were explaining you've had a long history with addiction, and I guess one of the more recent ones in your life was kratom, which is, in a lot of cases, a completely legal substance. I think in some states it is outlawed, but I'm not sure which states, so you may want to do your own research on this. But in a lot of places, you can just waltz into a head shop or a convenience store and buy kratom and walk out. And this is it's kind of related to the coffee plant, as I understand it. It is not a caffeine-based
but
substance.
But it also works on the opioid receptors.
It's opioid, right, right. So, Peter, you were just kind of telling us about your experience with this. When did you get into kratom, and was it after you'd already kicked some of your other addictions?
Well, I'd been arrested a couple times, and so I had decided to, clean up. And so I had read about it, what other legal forms can I use to kind of kick the habit?
Mm-hmm.
And kratom came up, and I tried it, and I told you 30 days, but I'd say I'm more versed into 20 to 30 pills, maybe 2 or 3 months after that. And what I liked about kratom is it took away my opiate urges, helped with my alcohol urges. But, of course, the tolerance builds up so dramatically fast, it's insane. And so, and then I was taking them because I would get very euphoric from it. And, of course, I liked the feeling. And so next thing you know, I'm doing 20, 30 at a time. A couple nights, I probably took more than that. Couldn't walk right.
Wow.
It just morphed into another bad habit.
Wow. And is it an expensive habit as well? I mean, what are you paying if you're doing 20 pills? What's that per day?
Well, I was buying, what would it be, 20, 30, that'd be 600 pills.
Mm-hmm.
So, 20 a day. No way. I'm talking 20 per dose.
Oh, 20 per dose. Oh, my God. So you were dosing how many?
20 pills, like 500 milligram pills. Is that what you mean?
Yes, exactly.
How many times were you dosing per day?
I'd say every couple hours.
Oh, my God. Okay, wow. So you're nonstop on
this.
So
I if I ever made it sound like withdrawing from kratom is no big deal, that is only because I, when I took myself off kratom for a little while, just to take like a 2-month break, I expected to get like withdrawal symptoms and nothing really happened to me. I have since learned, and I don't want to make the audience, anyone listening, think, oh, withdrawing from kratom is no big deal because of my experience. I since learned it's because I was taking a pretty small amount. Like, I never exceed 3.5 grams or 7 of those 500 milligram things, doses, and it's usually just once daily. So that I just want the listeners to know that, like, it absolutely does give you crazy withdrawal if you're taking high doses. So sounds like that's what you went through.
Exactly. Now, compared to other withdrawals I've been through, you know, I've seen things and then gone into seizures and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Nothing compared to that, but it's still not fun. And so another thing with kratom, too, I enjoyed it because I could stay up late. It gave me energy. I felt euphoric.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, Bonnie, it doesn't sound like you're an addict. And so you could control it, take it, feels good. But for an addict, it can be very dangerous, and I'm sure it's hard on the liver and everything else. I just wanted to give you my old man 2 cents.
All right.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that's really enlightening, Peter. Anything else you want to share?
That's it, guys. Have a good night.
Thanks for the call. I do appreciate hearing from you. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160.
It's really, like, it feels good for somebody to call in just because they, you know, wanted to share that with me because I had said that I'm addicted to kratom. But I just want to say I really appreciate that. But I would say I'm no more addicted to it than I am to, like, coffee. In fact, I don't like to go a day without drinking coffee. Whenever I think about not drinking coffee, when I wake up, I get, you know, I start arguing with myself in my head type of thing. Like, how can I make a way where I still end up drinking coffee? Blah, blah, blah. But kratom, I only drink it every other day. And I do a thing called tapering, which is where you don't just keep taking the dose higher and higher and you don't just stick to the highest you can take. Like, these pills that I take, I make into tea, there's 500 milligrams in each pill. So I won't take any less than 5 of them, so that's, what, 2.5 grams?
Mm-hmm.
But then the next day I'll take 6, and then the next day I'll take 7. And then I turn around, and I go 6, and then 5, and then...
And then you take time off, or you keep tapering up and down?
I just don't drink more than once... Or 2 days in a row. I don't drink more than 1 day in a row. Ever.
Okay. So that sounds like
you
put some thought into this.
Yeah, my barriers to not make it any worse. Like, I don't want to be wasting money. The thing is just, I don't know, there's things in people's lives that bring them joy. Like, some people like to decorate their house. I don't just buy pointless wall decals and put them on our wall, you know?
We got Jay in the chat room. He says, Peter was drinking more than 50 times what he takes in kratom in a day. And he says that kratom is basically no withdrawal for him. If he doesn't drink his one giant cup of coffee, though, every day, he gets terrible headaches.
Yeah, I get headaches when I don't drink my 1 or 2 cups of coffee a day.
Yikes.
You knew that.
I didn't know you were getting headaches from not drinking it.
If I don't drink coffee in an entire day, like don't drink any, then yeah.
Okay.
Usually it's like...
Because I've asked you a couple hours. Like, some days when you haven't had coffee after a couple hours, you're not having a headache.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, anyway, if you want to join the show, you can. Let's talk to Tim in Florida. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I heard you talking about kratom. I actually just took half a teaspoon of kratom right before I called.
Okay.
Now, I have been taking 1 teaspoon... And it's just like Bonnie said, you know, you got to taper yourself off for a few days and then take a few days off because there's such thing as a half-life. And half-lives make it very difficult to predict how a dosage, even a regular dosage, is going to affect you.
Mm.
And you think you're getting immune to it, but you could actually be having a buildup. Even though you feel like you're not getting the same effect, you could have a buildup in your system and then all of a sudden feel overdosed.
Okay, good to know. I mean, a teaspoon, you said, that doesn't sound like a very large dose at all.
Yeah, no, so I'll take like a teaspoon at a time, and I'll get, you know, fairly euphoric on that, but then into the third day, it doesn't really have the same effect.
When you say euphoric, you feel like you're getting high off of it, or are you getting just more productive? Because I know a lot of people say they take Kratom because it makes them feel like they can get things done. It helps them focus on things. Is that true for you?
A little of both, although sometimes I feel like that the for me personally, depending on the strain, because different strains do affect you differently. And by the way, I'm not into that. Like, I don't do this all the time. I'll go through little spurts where I do it for like a month, and then I won't do it for another year. But when I do it, yeah, I'll feel in some ways more productive, but the longer I take it, I feel less productive, and it feels like the euphoria just gets in the way, and that's why you got to kind of like start
taking it down. You've hit your limit.
I agree 100% because I don't think that Kratom is as easy to take a tolerance break from as some drugs. Like, when you take the tolerance break, I don't think it's as effective, and you'll come back and the energetic part isn't really there. Just the euphoria part is there. So that's one reason that Kratom has become less of a morning thing for me and more of like a nighttime thing.
Well, and of course, there's the different types they're talking about in the chat room right now. There's the red Kratom, there's the green Kratom, there's like different
colors.
I would
take the red Mangda. Mangda is, I don't know if that's how you spell it, but
yeah.
Mangda is.
Mangda, that's what I did tonight, except the white vein. You did red vein.
Yep.
Now, okay, so like, what are the differences here?
Mangda is more like you'll do it and you'll be able to have like some energy to get something done. Okay. What he's saying is true, though, that after a while that seems to be less effective. But since I've been taking paracetam too, I've noticed that now Kratom does have more of that effect for me.
Have you noticed, Tim, that there's different qualities in different brands of Kratom, or is it all pretty much the same stuff?
I don't know. I mean, I generally get the same brand, but as far as the strains, I definitely notice a difference in the strains. And if you get immune to one, you can generally switch to another strain for a while, and
it'll help
then
you
won't have as much of an effect. Right. I mean, or you'll have more of an effect, rather.
I had noticed, I have a limited experience with Kratom. I did try it a few years ago, maybe several years ago. We had John Bush, who is a liberty activist down in Texas, who sells Kratom, and he sells it online, and he was a sponsor of ours with that product for a little while. So I was actually, you know, trying the product pretty regularly for a couple of weeks, and I didn't take any huge, you know, heroic dose or anything like that, but I did take, you know, a few pills at a time, and I kind of felt the effects. I wouldn't say it was particularly euphoric. You know, maybe you have to take more in order to get to that point, but what I did notice, and I could see why some people would say it might make them feel more productive. I don't think that was true for me. I'm generally pretty productive anyway. I mean, I set goals for myself, and I get those things done. So I don't think that it helped me get anything done necessarily, but I could see why people could experience that feeling of Kratom as feeling more productive. And I ended up ultimately quit taking it because it made my nose itch. And I looked it up. I noticed that I kept itching my nose, and it's like I wasn't snorting it. Okay,
yeah.
I was just taking it in a tea or in pills or whatever. And I thought, you know what? This the only thing I've changed recently is I started taking Kratom. I wonder if this is the Kratom. And I looked online to see if there was a common side effect. And sure enough, there's a lot of people apparently who take Kratom and they get itchy nose.
Because that doesn't happen to me, but with like Percocet back when I was like in high school, I haven't done Percocet since then. That makes your nose itch really bad, and that's obviously an opiate, and Kratom is supposedly not an opiate, but it works on the opiate receptors, so it's interesting. That I mean, it doesn't happen to me with Kratom, so it's weird.
Tim, anything
that's
else you want to share about your experience?
My entire body itches.
Oh, really? It makes your entire body itch?
Yeah, I mean, if I take enough, you know, but if I get itchy, I get itchy, you know, pretty much everywhere. But
well, I'm lucky I don't get that.
Apparently, there's something called a Kratom bar. Have you heard about this, Tim? Is that something that they have down in Florida? Because Jay's in Florida.
I think so. I think I've seen them. Now, I'm from Collier County, which is much more conservative, and recently I've relocated to Lee County.
Okay.
Which has a lot more. And I think I did see something called a Kratom Kava bar. So they have both Kratom and Kava. But I've never participated.
The only time I've ever tried Kava was in those drinks called psychedelic water.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me a strange dizzy feeling, so I didn't continue trying that.
Thank you, Tim, for the call. I appreciate hearing from you. Jay says that the Kratom Bar is the new place to pick up chicks because you know they're a little wild.
It's weird because every time I try to, it's not like I try to get my friends on Kratom, but if somebody's interested, I'm telling them about it, and they're interested, and I let them try it. It's like everyone that I have let try it, doesn't enjoy it as much as
really?
I do. Like, they're like, I think I feel something. But the thing is, I'm not a weed smoker.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like everyone I know is a weed smoker. Maybe not everyone that's tried it. I don't know. But I definitely think people that smoke too much weed may just not get as good of effects. Like you said that you didn't back in the day when you took Kratom. You didn't get that many effects. You don't really get it. You don't really see why I like it. But
no, I see
you
why
smoked
people
a
like
lot
it.
Of weed.
Yeah, I did, but I mean, I could see why people liked it, and I'm sure if I took a stronger dose, I'd have seen it stronger, but I could see that.
And one thing I will say is, although the really pronounced energetic Adderall-type feeling is just basically gone from the first year I started trying it, it still makes me feel like I'm more productive, because it doesn't put you in, like when you're smoking weed or when you're drinking alcohol, there's a euphoric feeling, but also like a confused type feeling, and just like being inebriated type feeling, and you don't get that with Kratom.
Right, and that's what people are looking for. Presumably.
Right, so you have the euphoria, but you're still in control of yourself, and that euphoria kind of makes you like want to get up and do your work, and you don't, I don't know, I don't think that it's like a, it's not like I have, like, depression, but sometimes it's just, like, it's a fun thing. Some people have their painting, and I have Kratom.
The number here is 603-283-6160. So we're talking about finances and financial intelligence, which, sadly, a lot of people in the United States do not have. There's a related story here. We spoke earlier about the number of Americans, 52% in a recent survey from Bankrate, saying they have had negative impacts on their mental health because of money problems. And that is up from 42% just 1 year ago. There's a related story here they linked to from CBSNews.com, where according to a survey, Household Pulse survey from the Census Bureau, 36% of consumers say it has been, and this was a few weeks ago, somewhat to very difficult for them to pay their usual bills in the last 7 days.
Wow.
Which is a 25% increase compared with a year earlier, and is higher than even in the earliest months of the pandemic, when households were buoyed by the expanded unemployment aid and stimulus checks. Of course, we know, as we've explained many times, the stimulus checks were an illusion.
Yeah.
That was just to make you feel good for a moment while they screwed you by sending hundreds of billions of dollars to their corporate buddies. And, of course, all of that being paid for by the printing press, which actually devalues the money that you have in savings. But it's interesting here, they're saying that it's a 25% increase, meaning that 25% more Americans this year than last year say it is somewhat to very difficult for them to pay their usual bills in the last 7 days. That is also right in line with the 25% roughly increase of respondents who are now having negative impacts on their mental health from having money problems. These are serious issues that a lot of people are struggling from out there, and there's no better time than now to, you know, start working to change it. And one of those things that, you know, we've been talking about habits that people have, you know, addictive habits that cost money. If you're into Kratom, you probably shouldn't be going to Kratom bars unless you're specifically trying to meet, you know, another Kratom user or whatever.
That's kind of strange.
Same thing with the alcohol. You were talking about not going to bars. If you're going to be drinking, if you can't quit drinking, which if you can, you should, because, you know, why spend money on things that are unnecessary, especially now when it's harder than ever to make ends meet, you know, see what you can cut out from your budget. If you can stop the habits. Bonnie, we made a special trip to get you some coffee today. Was that today? That was today.
We woke up so early today for us.
Yeah, we were out for breakfast.
At the jury outreach.
Right. And a successful jury outreach, by the way.
Yes.
But we went out and grabbed some coffee. And you know, there's this new coffee, I don't know what you call it. It's not a bar. Right?
It's a chain. It's a chain. Oh, a drive-thru.
Here in Keene. And you really like it.
Yes, it's called Aroma Joe's.
And
I love it.
And you would want to go there every day because it's delicious coffee and everything, but it's...
And it's so fun. There's so many things about it that makes me want to go there every day.
Different flavors and trying different combinations. And
just having the cup, I don't know why it is fun to me, but I think lots of young girls can relate to that, especially with Starbucks. It's just that... I don't know why I'm such a hipster about it. I just don't like Starbucks. Ever since I found out that they burn their beans, that's all I taste. And it's any time I've ever tried this is the seasonal drink. It's it all tastes the same to me. And I don't know what it is. I don't like them asking me, what size do you want? And you can't say medium. anyways, I just never really liked Starbucks that much. But I understand now what the feeling of carrying around the Starbucks cup is for them with my cup, my little
what is
Aroma
the feeling?
Joe's
is it
cup.
Like a status symbol or something?
Yeah, I just feel like I did a fun thing. Look, I have. It's in school, when you're all forced to be in your desks and someone has I don't know, just a soda or something with them. They went out and they got to get that. Where'd they get that? I don't know. Everyone else doesn't have it. You brought it from home or you got it on the way to school. I've noticed, though, people carry their drinks around longer and not throw it away as soon because it's something to have. I don't know why it is, but I can't really explain it. I don't think status is the right word. It's not it's expensive. A soda's not expensive. The coffee's not expensive. It's
but it is, and it adds up.
I just mean as far as status, it doesn't mean
you're
rich.
The amount of money you spend on a home cup of coffee is a fraction, right? Like, you can do your own.
And that's the point we're trying
weekend.
To get to, but I was just praising.
You made your own latte this weekend here at the house.
And I'm really good at it, too.
And it was really tasty.
I got one of those foamers, foamy wands that foams the milk.
Yeah, and I'd never had one before, and I thought, oh, this is really good. But I'm not willing to go drive somewhere and then sit in a drive-thru and then pay the price you got to pay. But people do it every single day of their lives, and they spend a ton of time and they spend a ton of money on it.
It would definitely take away some of the funness of it too. I only go once every couple weeks, right?
Then it's more of a reward kind of thing, and it's okay. I've had a productive couple weeks. I can go out and do this nice thing. But if you're doing it every day, it's a habit. And it's something you should consider cutting out if you're looking to make ends meet.
I have a crazy story about Aroma Joe's, actually, as far as financial and just personal responsibility. The line was really long one day that I went, and I had my window open because it was a nice day, and I heard the girl in the car behind, or two cars behind me, complaining that she couldn't drive out because you can't just, drive out. This is a really,
it's a
small,
really small property.
She said, I am supposed to be at work right now. And we had been in line for 20 minutes, so she tried to stop at Aroma Joe's that had a full parking lot 20 minutes before being at work.
Obviously not very bright. More coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. The White House says it's Congress's constitutional duty to raise the debt ceiling.
There shouldn't be negotiations on the debt limit. This is something that they should get to regular order.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre accused House Republicans of manufacturing a crisis. Republicans insist this is the moment to address decades of bloated federal spending. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says he's deploying another National Guard unit to the border for this week's end of Title 42. The public health rule has been used to expedite deportations, and without it, there are worries about a surge of illegal immigration. The governor says the Texas Tactical Border Force will focus on stopping asylum seekers from crossing illegally into the country. The Biden administration estimates that 13,000 people will come across the border illegally on a daily basis once Title 42 expires on Thursday. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. Phones are open here. You can join the show. We have time for you. You dial in right now. That's 603-283-6160, talking about people's finances. People in America struggling to get their bills paid. There's actually a really interesting map here, and I will link to this on our social media platform, which is social.freetalklive.com. You can follow the @FTL account, and that's where we put in our show prep that we do if we remember to do it. I'm pretty good about it. Some of the other hosts, not as much. But you can go there and follow that account at social.freetalklive.com. On this article about Americans saying they're having trouble paying the bills, 25% more Americans this year than a year ago are having trouble making ends meet. This is now a total of 36% of consumers say it has been somewhat to very difficult for them to pay their usual bills. They actually have one of those handy little infographic maps that show state by state who's having the most trouble, and you're not going to be surprised when you find out that it's Mississippi that is the state that has the most trouble paying
bills. My whole life I've always heard that Mississippi was the poorest state.
It's one of the poorest places, yeah. So that's one reason. Southern states seem to have more trouble than the northern states. Looks like South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Dakota, that block of states is having the least trouble, with Minnesota maybe being the lowest at 28.8% having trouble paying their bills, whereas Mississippi, it's 52.9% of respondents
there. The majority of people.
New Hampshire is doing better in the Northeast than most other states, with 34.5% struggling to pay their bills in New Hampshire.
How that still seems so high.
Vermont actually beating New Hampshire with 29.6% saying they're having trouble paying their bills. But either way, we're still talking about almost one out of three people there. It's still pretty common.
Which state has more population? I don't think I ever wondered that.
New Hampshire has about twice as many people.
Oh, wow.
As Vermont. So anyway, I'll share this on social.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones here. Sarah is in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yes, I just wanted to say my group adopted an orphaned customer. So
what does that mean?
Okay, well,
and what group?
My group, my organization.
What is that?
With my network company.
Oh, your network marketing company. Okay.
Adopted a customer.
Yeah, what does that mean? They adopted the customer.
It's an orphaned customer. So orphaned customer was that they're still a customer, but the people that enroll them, they canceled out or disappeared, moved, and they have no contact with them. So there's no upload.
So you're their dealer.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's nobody explaining them nothing. Nobody takes care of them when they have things that go wrong with their, products or something. At least with our group, something is defective.
When you say your group, just to clarify something, does this mean that this customer is now on your downline? They're underneath you, or they're under someone who's above you and you're not making anything off of them?
Okay, what happened is that the person above me enrolled them and put them under me. So they're under my group, but I'm under his group. So basically, it's
how many customers do you have underneath you now?
I got two of them I found. No, one of them I found. That was the orphaned one, Ricky and Esther, at a church. And then, all the other ones are...
Wait. Just to clarify, you didn't find the orphan. That was your upline person, the person who signed you up. They're signing people up underneath you. So they're sort of stacking people underneath you without you actually having to do the work.
No, I actually found them at the church.
You did?
I did. So I was talking about our, diabetic.
Your potions, your lotions. Yeah, yeah. We know what they're selling.
Yeah, we have things that burn sugar in your blood, which helps healthy blood sugar.
Sarah is not a doctor, and she is not making medical. Something about blood sugar burning or something like that.
Yeah, right. But metabolizing sugar.
Okay, but how many customers do you have underneath you?
Altogether, four.
Four.
The two other ones were placed by him. But what happens is that he said, I'm a customer, Ricky said. And he says, but we don't get any kind of help whatsoever. And he tried to join other groups. They didn't want to be bothered with him.
I just want to follow what's going on here. Are you under your roommate? You got a roommate. I think his name is Raymond, if I recall correctly.
Richard.
I'm sorry. Richard. And are you under Richard? Or are you guys together on the same account?
Okay. I was under Raymond, and then he bailed out. He got frustrated, so he canceled out. But I'm still under the one that's the coaching me senior director.
Now, why did he? I want to know more about. Is it Raymond or Richard?
It was both, right? Those are both his names.
Yeah, the Raymond's the middle name.
Raymond. Okay.
Richard.
Okay. Richard Raymond. All right. So, why did he get frustrated?
Well, he just felt like. Well, we have to watch these Earn to Learn videos or something, foundation videos, and we could not figure out how to use the computer to watch it. But we have to go to some kind of senior course to figure out how to watch it, and then otherwise we can't get the bonuses. So he was so frustrated with that.
It was a technical frustration.
Right, and then we were doing something, and he wasn't making as much money as they thought he was going to be.
Yeah,
so
this is pretty common in network marketing. There's a lot of promises, intentions. There's a lot of beliefs, maybe miscalculated or misperceived beliefs about what is possible with network marketing. And, of course, the supermajority of people who get into network marketing never reach the goals that they think that they can reach. It's just not something that they can do. If you're a really great salesperson, mm-hmm. you're probably not in network marketing because mm-hmm. you've already
have a job
out,
where you can make more money, like at Verizon.
Yeah, or you're selling radio time or whatever it is that you're doing. You're doing good at that. Why would you want to go and build somebody else's business? from the ground up. So
what I'm just wrapping my mind around right now is the fact that Sarah called in because she wanted to tell us that somebody was buying from this company and then was like, wow, the person who signed me up kind of sucks and I don't get any help. And she was like, okay, you can buy from me. And she thinks that's like, I don't know. First of all, she's calling him
an orphan customer. But they are customer. They buy directly from the company. We just switch them over to our company. But you know what? That's technically called poaching. You're poaching customers, like stealing other people's customers for other people. But these people wanted to be stolen because they were abandoned.
Yeah, they were
orphans.
You know
what I mean? They were like orphans.
I've never been in a situation where I like felt like, oh, you need to buy this crap and you're not getting fed the crap well enough, so I'm going to sell it to you and I feel like I'm doing something good. I just can't wrap my mind around it. Like, wouldn't these people be better off not buying it if they weren't getting it anyway?
No, but right, they were happy because they were customers for 5-7 years. They love the product. It's just they don't have any support. The person that enrolled them, they don't have anything. They're gone. They moved or they canceled out. But they have no support.
But are you
going to
give them support, Sarah? You're not even making money off of this. All you're doing is you're just getting free product.
My sponsor, the Senior Director 3, he's giving all of us the support and product knowledge and how to.
How much money does he make?
He does well. I don't really know. I should not say how much, but it's in the thousands. Like
per month.
Yes. Right.
Well, there you go, Sarah. I mean, that could be you someday, but you don't want that, do you?
I don't really want it. I just want some free product. Dollar. That's all I'm aiming for. But I'm just happy these people wanted to be adopted.
Well, congratulations, Sarah. And thank you for the call tonight.
It's like, imagine that you've always bought Head and Shoulders from Walmart, and then you move somewhere where there's no Walmart, and you have to start buying, you know, an off-brand dandruff shampoo, and someone comes to you and is like, I sell Head and Shoulders, and I can sell to you, and they call you an orphaned customer and act like they're doing something good for you. It's just really strange. It's just strange.
It's not like I'm saying
Sarah's doing something bad.
No,
really.
No. I mean,
just weird. It's like, orphaned, really? I just stopped.
Network marketing isn't necessarily bad, although there are a lot of kind of scummy companies in the field.
Yeah. It's a whole YouTube genre is like people who deep dive research and just give you all the dirt on MLMs.
It's called
anti-MLM YouTube.
Yeah, okay. That doesn't surprise me. There's also a website called, I think it's Behind MLM or Beyond MLM, where they also deep dives into, and they've got like all the dirt on who the founders of these companies are and like what other companies they've founded and walked away from or that have failed. And you know, and just because somebody's failed to do a business doesn't mean that they're a scam artist necessarily.
But sometimes they've actually been found to have scammed.
Yes.
You know, like the owner of Young Living Essential Oils, he says he was a doctor and he was never really an actual doctor.
Oh.
Also, he says that he like healed things that there's no possible way that he healed. I don't know. I thought I was going to remember exactly what I was saying, but he definitely like straight
claims.
Up had like scam allegations in his life before he made Young Living.
So we were talking about changing your habits, and this is an important thing. If you were trying to make ends meet, more Americans are having a tough time making ends meet these days. Because
maybe cut out your MLM product buying. Because for one thing, if you're buying just some kind of herb from Sarah, you could probably be getting that cheaper on Amazon yourself.
Now, they're going to tell you they've got the best herbs from the best gardens.
Best quality.
Yes. I mean, there's all this propaganda that surrounds their products. Of course, the other MLM companies claim the same things about their versions of this of that. So.
Just go to anti-MLM YouTube and look up your MLM you're interested in.
Right.
And once you listen to all this dirt that you're going to find out, you're just going to be disgusted with the company and you'll be not
wanting
what
you were thinking.
Yep.
And so there's a story about people and their habits, what to do, how to change habits. That is definitely something people need to consider. We've talked about alcohol. We've talked about addictions. That's one of the obvious ones, coffee, or at least going out for coffee or going out for alcohol. If you can't cut out the addiction, at least take it home. Do it in a more affordable manner. Try to reduce the amount that you're doing if you feel like you can't end it
entirely.
Today
I got lavender iced coffee. It was so good.
But as you explained, Bonnie, though, this is a rarity for you to go out and buy coffee as opposed to doing it at home.
Yeah, and it inspired me. I wondered if I can just get my own lavender water because I have rose water that I put in my coffee at home and make my own rose lattes, and they're so good. Actually, my personal rose latte I make at home with instant espresso is probably better than the lavender latte I got, or lavender iced coffee I got today.
So, in a story from CBS News, which has got some budgeting tips for families, there's a section here about deciding what's really important. The chief executive officer of Money Habitudes, a money personality assessment company, says she, her husband, and children first decide what expenses are non-negotiable together. In addition to food, that might include costs related to sports or private lessons, for example. From there, she suggests creatively meeting those needs by choosing less expensive options. If going on vacation is important to you, perhaps what's most critical is being together somewhere away from everyday demands. Her family, who live in Venice, Florida, opted for a road trip together, planned partly by her children based on places they'd seen on Instagram. She said, we did crazy off-the-beaten-path things, such as visiting White Sands National Park in New Mexico. They had a memorable day riding down mounds of white sand on an air mattress.
Wow. So that sounds actually really fun, because I was wondering, what would you do in White Sands? I've heard it's like, you know, it's out in the middle of nowhere, it's like miles and miles of literal white sand, and there's like no phone service. I've only heard of it because there's a military base there.
Being in sync with your partner is an essential part of the budgeting process, even though it can be one of the hardest parts. Instead of rehashing money disagreements, plan your future together and get excited about your joint goals.
And if you're single, don't get with somebody who you can't have a conversation with money about, because I just,
whenever
I hear about that, like people say, that's one of the hardest things. I just think that's crazy, because me and you would never be like arguing about that. Like if you thought something was a bad idea, I would take your advice about it. I would, you know, respect that. I just can't imagine being like, no, Ian, I really want to spend money on Aroma Joe's every single day. Like, I just don't get that.
Those conversations, he said, can strengthen a relationship because, quote, it feels like we're aiming for the same thing. He said in his case, he stopped criticizing his wife about her coffee buying habit when he realized it didn't add up to a significant expense.
Yeah, Ian, just quit criticizing me.
But if you're buying coffee at the store, it's not a significant expense. Hmm. If you are going out every day, it's a significant expense because you're spending $5 to $7, probably $7 if you're at Starbucks, maybe $5 if you're going to a cheaper place. You know.
And if you're getting their crap food there too, it's like,
that's even more money.
Yeah.
And don't forget about your time. I mean, your time is worth something. If you have to go and sit in a drive-through lane for 20 minutes every single day, that's time when you could be doing something more productive at home. So those are things to consider.
Putting up your social media posts about your MLM product.
If you're Sarah.
Yep.
I don't think she's on social
media. She works from home.
So one of the other things we've talked about, you know, besides habits, right, there are those things you have to buy in life. You have to buy toilet paper. You have to buy, you know, you fill in the blank, these different things that we need to live and live comfortably. But you need to be aware of what the companies out there are doing. You've got to be, you can be a smart buyer rather than a completely ignorant buyer, right? Like, so an ignorant buyer goes into a store, they pick whatever they want off the shelves, they're not paying any attention to what it costs or how much is in the package. We've talked about shrinkflation here on Free Talk Live over the years. It's more important now, of course, than it's ever been. It's been going on for as long as I've been around, but it's happening now, it seems, more
rapidly.
Yeah, more rapidly and maybe a little more extreme. And the folks over at mouseprint.org are the people that are on top of this. So they, every month, I think now, are doing shrinkflation updates. Or maybe it's every quarter. Anyway, they're doing it pretty often. And so they get submissions from their readers, and they post different examples of the products that are shrinking out there. And, you know, those big 24 packs of paper towels that we get, Bonnie, we go to Walmart and we get the big Bounty brand paper towels.
Oh, yeah.
That's number one on the list here for shrinkflation.
What did they cut?
They cut out nine sheets.
Hmm.
No, sorry, eight sheets. Eight sheets. No, total, I think, from, is it per? Yeah, it must be per roll because it says 98 sheets. So, yeah, it was 98 sheets. It is now 90 sheets. But the funny thing is they still have all the graphics on the packaging, like 12 equals 24 doubles.
Double.
Right? Okay, well, it may be double what the current roll is because
double super pack. Still, family double pack.
It may be double, but that just means the half size roll is still less than what it was before. So now it's only 90 sheets, down from 98 sheets. Gain detergent is down from 92 fluid ounces to 88 fluid ounces. The packaging looks similar.
Hmm.
In fact, they say eyeballing it, you can't even tell the difference between the bottles, and that may be that the bottles are slightly smaller or they're just slack filling it, as they call it, where they just don't put as much
same exact size
product.
Bottle, but yeah, less product in it. Wow.
That's a possibility. Also, the labeling's interesting on the new bottle, and they actually don't even mention this in the article, but you can just look at it. The old bottle... the photo isn't high enough resolution to actually say what it says at the top, but they replaced some of the text at the top with like a 50% more. So they actually had the gall to cut 4 ounces out of their product and then put a label on it that says that it has 50% more.
Then, but it's got an asterisk that means then something else, right?
Then they're smaller size.
Wow.
Right. So anyway, there's one example. The Oreos are getting a little slimmer. The so-called family size pack of double stuffed Oreos has gone down from 1 pound and 4 ounces to 1 pound, 2.71 ounces.
They That's cut good. Out you don't
over
need that.
An ounce.
It's not food.
Well, I mean, you shouldn't be buying it anyway, but just
you
as
shouldn't.
An example.
It's not food, and it's the thing about unhealthy food is people are like, I can't afford to eat healthy. Can you afford hospital bills? $1,000 at a time hospital bills in 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Because paying a little bit more for food that you might have to get a taste for because you've been eating Oreos so you can't really taste a strawberry, well, it's going to pay off in medical bills, in quality of life.
That's good advice. Let's go to the phones here. We've got a major pain in the butt on the line in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live.
Why'd you call him that?
That's what he wanted to be called.
Why'd you call me that, Ian?
He requested it.
Oh,
yeah, I forgot. Oh, thank you. Thanks for remembering.
You're on the air.
Psychology of when you're short of money. What the technique that I used that worked almost too well was when I found that I was going to be short, I was short of money or going to be short of money, I would go into what I called emergency mode, which means that I only bought things that if I didn't buy it, something bad would actually happen. Not I just would miss it, but something bad would happen.
Hmm.
And, I never really liked shopping in the first place, but on two different occasions, I have literally gone 9 months without money coming out of my pocket for anything.
Wow.
other than the monthly bills, which are very few that come out automatically off of your account for routine expenses. But
now when you say you can go for nine, or you have gone for 9 months, does that mean you've just stocked up and you're whittling down like your toilet paper inventory for 9 months before you finally go back to buy more?
Yeah, the I've gotten in the habit of things that don't perish, of stocking up on them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what prompted me to go to the store as I finally hit I was going to be out of, or I was out of things that you really don't want to be out of.
Okay.
He already kind of reminded me of Dale Gribble.
Yeah. I haven't watched that for so long. Why? What was his deal?
Just that in his basement, he stocks up on, I don't know, cereal bars and also like toilet paper, but also he has like these huge things of Mountain Dew. Like he's going to run out of Mountain Dew.
Well, at least my supplies are real food instead of that crap.
There you go. That's good. Any other tips you want to share?
That's the main one. I don't buy anything that's name brand advertised, anything that goes around of a NASCAR track, you know, on the hood of a car. I don't buy any of that.
Well, plus you're always just paying for the advertising when you buy name brands anyway. That's really the only difference between store brands and name brands most of the time.
You should look at ingredients.
But as I understand it, you also live pretty far away from the grocery store, right? So it's like, it's a real decision to actually have to go in town for you. You've got to really make a choice there, right?
Yeah, there are a couple of convenience stores that are closer, but if you want to not waste your money,
yeah, you'll pay the price.
It's basically a 70-mile round trip, so you got to kind of commit. So.
Right. Yep, that's a good point. Thank you for the call tonight, man. I appreciate good advice. Stock up on the important things, and if you're like him, you're living out in the boonies. You know, you can't just hop on over to, like, we're here in downtown.
Yeah, I think he said that he drinks rainwater.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, here we're in downtown Keene. We can hop over to three different grocery stores within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But if you're out, he said, 70-mile round trip, you're talking about, you know, it's an hour-long commitment just to go to the grocery store. I mean, there's a gas price involved in that, let alone the time. So you got to be a little more judicious with how you go and you spend your time. And if you're in the city, you can also do the same thing. You just have to, you know, don't go shopping all the time. Make one trip every couple of weeks or whatever. Keep the gas that you're spending down. There are ways to do this. You just have to be cognizant of how you're spending money and on what. And again, just a couple more examples here from the mouseprint.org shrinkflation list. This is the most recent one they posted last week. Dawn dishwashing detergent. Again, this is another one that, why pay more for the name brand? Well, now you're getting less with the name brand. 19.4 ounces, Bonnie, down to 18 ounces. So they shaved another 1.4 ounces off of that. That's like barely anything. It's a skinny little looking bottle here. And then Sara Lee Bagels.
They have, they're enriched. They have soybean oil and stuff.
They knocked an entire bagel out of the bag. There were there were six bagels in their deluxe bagels bag at pound 4 ounces. Now it's only a pound and 0.7 ounces.
But now they call it the deluxe super double bag.
No, they didn't go that far with it, but they just knocked the whole bagel out. Hoping you wouldn't notice.
That's something you've gotta notice. Like, six is a minimum number of bagels to be in a bagel bag.
I wonder if that's true. We should check the next time we're at the grocery store and see how many bagels they still put in the bags around. Out of the time for tonight, but if you got some tips you want to share with us, of course you can find us online at social.freetalklive.com, and we're back here tomorrow night. In the meantime, at freetalklive.com. We'll see you then.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.